No fornicator or unclean or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Jesus was casting out a devil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How grateful we are at St. Gertrude for our devoted sacristans, Katie and Darlene, and those who help them regularly each week or on special occasions. Some of you volunteer an hour or two on Saturday mornings. And how grateful we would be if just a few more would, so that every Saturday there'd be someone here to help the dear ladies with all of the maintenance and the cleaning of the altars, the shrines. There are four priests, the sacristy to keep up, and then there's a bishop too. And as Father Cicada likes to say, bishops are high maintenance. But imagine, I know it's a stretch, but imagine if the sacristan were actually a sorcerer, a witch of the highest level, whom they say is able to perform great mischief with the devil's help, and even, I was told, to turn himself, of all things, into a cat. This happened, it actually did, just a few years ago, in the town in Veracruz State called Dos Rios, which I visited on Wednesday for St. Joseph's Day. When the priest arrived there, the priest who was my host this time, Father Hernan, he noticed the sacristan always went to Holy Communion every day, which is unusual in Mexico still today, but he never went to confession. And one day, Father tells me, while he was offering Holy Mass, he saw in the sacred host the face of a child suffering. And at that very moment, that wicked sacristan was actually attacking a child on the grounds of the church someplace. After Mass, there was a confrontation. The witch's powers were no match for the prayers of the priest, and Father drove him off. And then when he departed, some strange things started to be explained. The priest wondered why the holy water, for example, always had a foul smell. Well, as it happened, the sacristan would dump the old dirty water from the flower vases into the holy water container. Things like that. And then for years, the priests who served at that church were under some sort of a curse and were afflicted, particularly at night. Sometimes they heard, and sometimes they actually saw large beasts on the roof of the church, and then suffered when they were trying to offer Holy Mass. But finally, this man who had caused all of this grief, this devil worshiper, the time came for him, as it will for us all, to die. And of all things, he called for the priest to come to him. So Father went to see him. The priest noted that during the whole time of his visit, this witch, had his hands hidden under a blanket. And that was because, Father told me, he had very, very long, sort of gnarly fingernails, a bit as you'd see a witch having in a Walt Disney movie. But this was the real thing. Now, in his room, he had four statues of the devil, whom they call in Mexico Death, La Muerte, portrayed as a skeleton, the grim reaper holding a scythe in his hand. These will have to go, Father said to the sick man, or else I'm afraid I'll not be able to do anything to help you out. So you think about that. And then the priest went home. Well, about a month later, and this was just a few months ago, about a month later, there was a loud knock on the door of the church. Of course, in the middle of the night, the devil's hour, which is, 3 o'clock in the morning. Come, Father. Some of the family was there. Come, Father. He's dying. He's asking for you. Did you get rid of those devils? Oh, yes, they said. We gave them away to somebody else. So the priest went to the house, and he gave the man last rites. And it was when he went to anoint his hands that he saw the long nails. But the priest says he died repentant. And the next day, he buried him with a funeral mass. The family did not attend. The priest has the impression, and they seem to know these things down there, that this man had saved his soul. Now, about 50% of the people in that village, they're all Catholic, go regularly to consult with these witches and to pay for their services. Sometimes when they're desperate for help, sometimes when they're depressed about questions of love or money, good health, or a desire for revenge. What they will do at the family shrine or altar is to put an idol, one of these demon gods, next to the statue of a saint, and then perform their incantations, a bit like Catholics up here who hedge their bets by serving God, but also mammon. An almost impossible custom, they told me, to root out is the very popular superstition, it's called limpiarse, to purify or cleanse oneself of the influence of bad or evil spirits. What they do is they take a flower or even a holy object and they rub it over a crucifix or a statue, and then they sort of rub it like this over themselves or somebody else. And the idea is that that is going to give protection from an evil spirit, but that's a sin of superstition. All of these things go back to the old pagan religions, which all of them come from the devil. In the Indians of North America, you see it, the Indians of Central or South America, as well as the natives in Africa. You remember the term, you've heard it, medicine man? In Mexico, they're called a curandero, someone who would cure. But really, they're witches who invoke demons and cast spells. Today, they try to present themselves as practicing harmless folk medicine, or what they would call as white magic. You see some examples of that, too, in the south of our country, Louisiana, for example. The idea is always this. It's the invocation of evil spirits, the devil, along with God in some sense, which is a mortal sin of false worship. This kind of religion is indeed a serving of idols of Satan himself. Once in Mexico, it led to human sacrifice, cannibalism. Africa, the same thing. Today, it leads to attacks upon children, murder, and every abominable vice. Now, you may say, oh, an interesting story from Mexico, Your Excellency, but I assure you there's no danger for me or my family getting into idol worship like those poor Indians. Oh, there is a perfectly respectable way of committing these sins in America today. I'm not even speaking about those who may innocently have in their homes a pagan idol as a piece of art, folk art, say a Buddha or a Hindu, a god, an Indian or African fetish of some kind. But you may endanger your soul, the souls of your children, for the sake, say, of a position in society, or just going along in the matter of entertainment, sending your children, say, dancing or to some sports, which end up attacking a child's innocence and his good morals because of bad companions or bad music or the like. This is a serving of idols. Many miss Mass on Sunday regularly, and they stay in bed. Why? Sleep is their god. And whatever activity they have substituted finally for their Sunday Mass when they do get up. Or, as in the epistle, you may love money and possessions so much that this covetousness claims your worship. Your god is mammon. For the glutton, says St. Paul, it's your belly. For the drunkard or the druggie, it is oblivion, forgetfulness. For adulterers and fornicators, It's another human being, but someone to whom they have no right. And so they leave the service of God for an idol, in this case not an ugly skeleton, but a very attractive human being. Superstition is another form of false worship, ascribing a power to a thing which does not possess it, either by its nature or by God's grace. The number 13, Friday the 13th, devout people making a certain kind of a novena, believing that if they do everything absolutely correctly, then a positive answer is guaranteed to them. That's that old pagan idea of using religion as a way to bind God to do your will. It's the abuse of a sacred thing used superstitiously. The Indians always receive very enthusiastically the rosaries which some of you make, and I pass them out in the poor villages, and they kiss them, and they put them right away around their necks, and they wear them very devoutly. But you also see people up here who have no idea of the faith at all wearing a rosary today as jewelry or as a kind of a charm or a fashion statement. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a table of young black men at the Pancake House over there. And one of them was wearing a full traditional Catholic rosary around his neck, and I was very tempted to go up and to ask him if he knew the prayers and the mysteries and how to recite it. But of course, that wasn't why he was wearing it. The misuse of holy things is a sin. Sometimes it's superstition, and sometimes it's just sacrilege. Superstition and unbelief go hand in hand. Remember what Chesterton said? When they stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they'll believe in anything. It's an amazing thing that France, which prides itself on its high level of education, on worshiping since the Revolution the goddess of wisdom, and on being very modern and secular and up to date, how many people there are, more and more each year, who go to consult fortune tellers and palm readers and astrologers. These are all of them sins against the first commandment, as is spiritism. Have you ever heard of spiritism? I notice it right down the street, 747, there's a sign for a spiritist church right by the expressway on the way. That's a creepy practice. It's the idea of talking by means of a medium to the dead. It was very, very popular in the 19th century. And still today, people, spiritists hold shows, and a lot of people will attend. Sometimes you could see them on television. It appeals to the gullible, to those who are bereaved but have no faith, and they find it consoling. But the whole thing, of course, is done just by trickery. Harry Houdini, the magician, before he died, wanted to devote his life to exposing the trickery of spiritism. But sometimes the invoking of the dead is even more serious if a Ouija board is used. I've mentioned that before. The use of a Ouija board is calling upon demons to come and answer certain questions. Remember that spirits, whether angels or damned angels, which are devils, will always come if you invoke them. And so the use of a Ouija board has been the occasion for many celebrated demonic possessions in our own country. Never be in a house where there's one of those. If you ever come across one, destroy it, burn it, just as quickly as you can. All of these things, all of these elements of false worship and of superstition, what do? They leave people fearful. They steal peace of soul. They end up full of hatred and really capable of doing just about anything at all. They become the enemy of God, that God whom they wish to manipulate rather than to serve along with the demons. And they are destined with the demons to be punished by God for all eternity. Of all eternity and of old was I conceived. The church applies this scripture to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let's end with her today, shall we? As does today's Holy Gospel. She who is perfectly innocent and who never grew old. She never grew old because she never sinned. Last Tuesday night, we priests visited Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. And I have to say, it was a remarkable thing and very unusual for me because with the glasses and everything now, and it was night, so it was kind of dark. The sight is not that good, but I have never seen Our Lady looking so young and so beautiful in her Guadalupe image. And you wonder, what is her secret? Well, her secret is this. She serves God alone, and she crushes the head of the demon, the serpent god. May we learn from her. And it's a very simple thing, to hear the word of God and to keep it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.